Okay.
Hey everyone, this is Jocelyn and welcome to this edition of Leap. Joining me today is Janet Langmire and she is an actualization mentor. So Janet, thank you so much for joining me today.
Jocelyn, I'm thrilled that you even asked me to be here. I'm just excited. I love what you do and it's a privilege to be able to talk with you and share some ideas and thoughts together.
Oh, I love starting that way. And that's how I feel about you. Janet and I met in December at a mutual individual's home. And through the way that life works, of course, we began conversation. And I was in a very, very dark place at that point back in December. And there was something that, Janet, that you did. You created this space for me where I felt comfortable to really open up and share what I was going through in that very moment. Because I do talk frequently in my show about the journey that I have been on, you know, for the past 3 years and even go back to things prior to, because my awakening and my beginning began, you know, 3 years ago. And what I was dealing with in December, even though I thought I healed a lot of it, was coming back. And I was coming back through a different relationship. And I just was really struggling at that point to be vulnerable. And you provided such an opportunity for me to just let my heart bleed. And so I was so compelled when I came back to the microphone, you were on my list. And so I'm so grateful that you said yes.
Oh, I'm a little bit choked up from here. Thank you. Yes, because that means a lot to me that space was created. You know, we're coaches, we're transformers, we're always doing different things, right? So I work with a coach as well. And recently he asked me to send in all my recent testimonials. He said, I just want to see what's the common theme here I hear when I look at your testimonials. Just give them to me unvarnished. So I sent him a bunch of people who'd worked with me in the last like 6 months. And when the next time we talked, he's like, okay, I got everything. I said, well, what's the common theme? And it's what you just said, safety. He said, Janet, you provide a place for people to feel safe and for they trust you, even though they never used those words. Not one single client used those words, but that was what was happening. And I was, again, I got all kind of choked up because that's what I know I need. And I can't expect to be any other way. And it's not something I do professionally. It's the way I am, period.
The
way it is. Yeah, because, you know, when you meet a person, all you have to offer them is your authenticity.
Yeah.
And so if you're just there and you're grounded and you're in your authenticity and you're willing to be present in the moment, things happen for people. And I'm honored that that happened for you. And I remember you quite well from that evening. So thank you. And thank you for bringing me here today.
Of course. So, you know, where I really want to begin is where you began. And we chatted about this just briefly before we went live here is, you know, where did your story begin or when did your journey begin of when you realized you had a calling, you had a calling to answer?
That, I'm glad we talked about it a little bit before we came on because, you know, it's like which iteration of me, right? Because we're always becoming. And every step of our journey is a step in our own becoming. You know, I love that line from Hildegard de Bingham where she says, live on the green growing edges of your own becoming, right? And that's what we're doing. So it's like, well, where do I start? Well, I thought I'll start with where I got the absolute clarity that I needed to do something else in my life. And, you know, just be with me for a minute. You know what it feels like when your heart's pounding?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you got your heart pounding. You got your body kind of just crawling with energy. And you're panting and you're going, okay, my breathing's erratic. Everything's out of control. My hands are hanging on. And now put yourself in a car driving in traffic Monday morning, rush hour. Oh, and you're having all that happen.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Well yeah, maybe yes, maybe no, right? Depending on why the reason are your heart is beating a rate.
Well, that is exactly that what was happening to me. That was what was happening. You know, I was driving to work on a Monday morning. I had my daughter in my ear and I'm talking to her, and all of a sudden she could hear what was going on. And I had just taken the exit to my work. The moment I pulled the car from the freeway to the exit, that's when the panic attack started. And she was like, "Mom, get off the road, get off the road." I can hear her in my ear, and all I'm thinking about is, I'm so close, I'll just park. So I park the car, and I can see the doorway. I can see the window. I could walk to the, but I couldn't get out of the car. I literally was frozen in my seat, having a panic attack. And at that same moment, a friend of mine texted, and she happens to be a physician. My daughter's like, "Mom, hang up the phone and call her. She's a doctor, there's something wrong, you need to call." So I called her, and she could hear it in my voice. And I said, I can't go into work. I can't go in there. I just can't do it. And she's like, "Turn the car around." I'm going, "What are you talking about, turn the car around? I can't go in, but I have to because, you know, I'm single. This is my job. It's how I make my living. This is what I do. I have to go." Now, you have to understand that I didn't hate my work. I was actually very good at it. I enjoyed it, but I was exhausted and tired, and it wasn't what I wanted to do anymore, but I would not listen to those soft signals. You know how we get the soft signals?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I had been getting soft signals for months, and I had been, you know, blowing them away like dandelions, you know? Well, when you don't listen to your soft signals, you get much stronger signals. And mine was manifesting in the form of a panic attack. So I said, "Well, I can't just not show up." So I sent a text to my boss and said, "I can't come into work today," which was true. I didn't tell her I was in the parking lot.
Didn't need to know. Non-essential detail.
I did what my friend said. I backed up the car and turned it around. And I've thought about that moment so many times because every mile closer to home, my body got calmer. And making that decision to turn my car around was, in fact, a metaphor for turning my life around. We always have that vehicle to turn our life around, but we don't always know it. And we can take it to big, big, big places of crap, right? I mean, catastrophizing our lives. Well, that's what I had kind of done. And this went on for a while. Literally could not continue to work in that job. So I started to ask myself, what would I love? I had been teaching and training for years, but in a corporate umbrella. And I didn't think I could be a coach. And yet coaching and mentoring is what I have done professionally for most of my life, most of my adult life in one shape or form, right? Mm-hmm. And, but I was, you know how you have to get in tune with the part of you that lights up when you think about doing something. You know, I always say, what's the first question you ask yourself? Does it give me life?
Oh, right? I love that. Because, you know, as we talked before we went live with this, you know, I was at a point, you know, when we first met, my fire was kind of barely a burning ember, right? And here I am, months later, and my flames are huge because this show lights me up. Doing this.
There's your first question.
I love that.
Does it give you life? Does it give you life? And use it in every area of your life. Use it when it comes to, and I don't care what the question is. If you can feel yourself closing down, not expanding, you've already got the answer to whether or not to move forward. And you already know what it feels like. And every morning to go to that job was closing me down. So it was time to listen. But I had to have a lot of conversation with myself. And the day that I finally made the commitment, I thought I was going to have a heart attack all over again because I knew I was jumping off the cliff with absolutely no idea how this would work out. And then you do the constant, and I know this with my clients too, we all do this. Well, who am I? Well, do I have to have more? Do I need this? I mean, who's going to listen to me? Why would they pay me money? How should I do? And I mean, I'm like, I'm doing everything that everybody else does, that all my clients do. We have this built-in thing. And I'm kind of on a mission. I don't think we've talked about this, but I'm on a mission. We're not broken.
We're not broken.
Nothing wrong with us. We don't need to be fixed. We don't need to get better. We get to be who we want to be. And maybe that's a better version of ourselves if we want to use that word, but I don't think of it that way. I think of it as a fuller, more free expression of ourselves. You know, if
I love all this. Keep going.
It's just the way I think. You know, my daughter wrote a children's book many years ago when she was expecting her first child. And then when, oh gosh, I don't know how many years ago later, for her birthday, I helped her self-publish that book. And my mother was actually in the hospital at the time that the book actually got published. And she called me on the phone and, you know, mom's in surgery. And she's like, Mom, my book. And I'm like, oh, great, when I get home. So when I get home, we go to dinner together. And we go out to dinner and she hands me her book. And it's a children's book. Mm-hmm. And the book's called The Great Toady. And I open it up to the first page. And I didn't know this because she didn't tell me. She dedicated the book to me. And she said, you know, I know, I got all, we're going to be all.
I know.
Right? I mean, it's just like.
But, tears might happen. Just sometimes it happens.
She said, she wrote in the book, because the book's called The Great Toady, and she wrote in the book that she dedicated it to me because I always see the greatness in everyone, and I have always seen it in her. And of course, I'm sitting at the restaurant, you know, losing it. But that is what she said to me when I said, I want to do this. She goes, Mom, you've always seen the greatness in everyone. Why wouldn't you be someone who's a coach? But that's not a good enough name for you because that's not what you do. She's the one that gave me the name, Actualization Mentor. She goes, Mom, you help people actualize their life, actualize their dreams, really help them bring it into their life and happen. And she's the one that supported that, you know? I mean, my other daughter's going, duh, of course.
So they all have different ways.
It's good to have kids, right?
Yes.
It depends on what day. They always, yeah. You know, I always say if you have more joy than pain, you've got a great life, right? So, but anyway, that's how that title came about. And it took me almost a year to embrace it. Even though she gave it to me, you know, as with all of us, it's a process of becoming. So becoming a coach, and now I can't imagine doing anything else. And what I realize is it's what I've always done.
Yeah.
It was the fear of, I didn't have a company behind me. It was just me. And it's never just you because as we talked beforehand, I'm always taking more classes, working with mentors, working with coaches, growing so that I have more to give to my clients, because I don't think you can ask what you aren't willing to do.
Absolutely.
Yes,
I was so glad that you said that because, yeah. You know, I know for myself, I started my coaching practice months. Well, I started the practice in the same time that I launched the show, even though I had been recording prior to actually going live with the show. And it wasn't intended, right? That was not necessarily the plan. It's sort of what showed up. And I was like, oh. And as I started to like peel back my own layers, because I'd already spent 2 years like working on me. And so I felt I had a pretty good toolbox. And I also knew that my toolbox was just getting started. Like there was going to be there's still a lot more to go in there. Yet I also knew very definitively that there was something more that I had to do, that there was something more that I had to show up for. And when, you know, one of the first things I did when I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm committed to it, I, you know, signed up with, you know, a business coach and went through this practice. And when it came to what is my ideal client, who are the people that I'm going to be talking to, I fought it. I don't know if you've gone through this, but I fought it.
Can we talk about that? Yeah, I fought it too. I had a terrible time with that when I first started coaching.
Why?
Because I think that it was feeling like I'm leaving people out. Hmm. Like, oh, I'm here for everyone. And I am. But what I've learned is I attract people to me who are at the vibration, if you want to call it vibration or frequency, that I am.
Yes.
So as I grow and shift, you know, I always say I can be on Discovery Channel or I can be on constantly negative news. I don't attract people who live at CNN.
I've never heard that before, but I like that.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like, you can't watch Discovery if you're on CNN, right? You can only watch CNN, but that's not the vibration I live on. I live more like on Discovery. I have a client that told me she lives on Animal Planet, and I'm glad because it's a good vibration for me. So, but you tend to bring in who you are. So the thing I found out that I was really resisting was identifying who I am. and recognizing that that is what I would be servicing, and that as I grow and I serve, I bring in clients who challenge me, who I challenge as we grow. You know, transformational work, which is the kind of work I do, means that I'm willing to go through metamorphosis. I'm willing to, you know, be on those green growing edges, right? I always love that because I always think of pine trees, you know, in the spring, you know, they're green all the time, right? But then in the spring, they get that little bitty fresh spring green color. And whenever I think about growing or I'm talking to clients about growing, I go, but don't you love that kind of rubbery new energy that you see in the spring? That's us.
That's us. That's right now.
Right. That's us.
Literally right now. Right now.
Yeah. And so we are, but we're always alive. We're always, you know, it isn't like we stop living. It's just that we go a little further. We take ourselves out a little bit more and transform. And looking and I guess trusting that as I looked at myself, that was going to be okay in creating my own ideal client. I fought it just like everybody else. But the more I embrace it, the more wonderful people come to me, you know?
And isn't that something so incredible? So, you know, for me, when, you know, where I began was when I chose me first and I walked away from a marriage. And prior to that, you know, Facebook had been around for a long time at this point, and I had been a voyeur. I was watching life happening. I wasn't participating. I mean, yes, that's the truth. I was watching other people live. And as I started working with my first coach, because I really didn't know, I didn't know what life coaching was. I really didn't. I was like, I know therapy hadn't worked. And I was looking at a business coach at the time, but I was like, no, my life's a mess. So I think we go with life coach. About the where I need to be. And as I started to work with my first coach, you know, big word was invulnerability. And I thought, I always believed I've been pretty authentic. I've always spoken my truth with pretty much everyone in my life. And that was something that my friends had always commented on with me, is even if it was hard to say, or like they'd ask me like how they looked in a dress, and I would tell them. I didn't hold it back. It wasn't nasty about it, but I was like, no, I'm not going to tell them that it looks great, but if it's not a style that suits their body, you know, that's who am I if I don't do that? I've come to learn.
I'm calling you when we go shopping. You're my girl.
I've come to learn that that's also part of my DNA. It's part of my astrological. I mean, a lot of who I am has always been that person. But what I embraced in that time frame was the vulnerability. And I started sharing very publicly on Facebook everything that was going through. And it wasn't always pretty. And it wasn't ever, the intention was never to be like, feel sorry for me. It really was, for me, it was therapy. It was me healing and rewriting who I am. And what came of that was people coming out of nowhere and sending their friends to me. And I became that motivating force. And I was like, what's that? And I shelved it for a while, but I was like, that's something. That's a clue, right? Maybe I need to listen to that. I'm curious for you. So you, let's go back to you, turn the car around. You're driving home and you're feeling lighter. Now what?
I didn't know what the now what was going to be. I was so relieved in the moment, you know, that I was like taking myself out of all that pressure in the moment, that the only thing I could think of was getting home. When I got home, I was going to work from home the next day, and I was in my kitchen, and it's like six steps down the stairs from the kitchen to my office. And I had the same thing happen. I had another panic attack the next morning. I could not move from the kitchen to the office. So that said to me, this is a big message. You know, like I said, the soft signals were gone. We were down to hardcore. You need to listen to me. And you need to listen to me in the way that your life will not be healthy if you don't start to pay attention. So the conversations I started having, I'm a journaler. I've always been a journaler. I've been writing in journals since I was old enough to hold a pen or a pencil. And I just started writing. I started asking myself, what is it that would make me feel good? What would, instead of going, this is what's making me feel bad, I'd kind of gotten that message. So I started asking myself, what is it that you like? What do you like about the things you've done in the past? And like I said, unconsciously, I wasn't connecting the word coaching or mentoring until I started writing down the kinds of things I've done. I've always coached and mentored, taught and trained. It's what I've always done. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, this is who I am. How does that look in the outside world? I don't know. I went to a class. It was on video. Are you familiar with Mary Morrissey? I went to this class where it was on video, so she wasn't even in person, right? And I'm watching her talk on video, and she said something just blew me away. She talked about common hour thinking, and she was using the quote from Thoreau, which I will tell you is sitting on my desk and has been sitting on my desk for 26 years. My son-in-law gave me this card 26 years ago. It's my favorite quote. And Mary was talking about this quote. And I was like, you know, literally jaw drop. And I went, I need to listen to this woman. So the next week I came back and listened to a video. And that week she was talking about how she had wanted to get into the work that she's now doing. This was in her younger life. And she wanted to work with a man named Jack Bolin. Jack Bolin in the 70s was a very well-known minister in Michigan, had a huge congregation, spoke all over the world. And she wanted to work with him. So she got herself to Michigan. She stood in line because she wanted to meet him. She screwed on her courage and asked him if she could have coffee with him or breakfast with him. He said, I don't have time for breakfast, but I'll have coffee with you. So she got there early. She's sitting there all ready to meet Jack Bolin. She wants to work with him. She wants to learn how to do what he does. And so they start talking, and she screws on her courage, and she asks him, and she says, what's it going to cost for me to do this? And he says, $19,000. And she goes, and I did the same thing watching that story on video. I sat back and hit my back, and I went, oh my God, that's my problem. And as I had that thought, she said, and Jack said to me, therein lies your problem. And I went, wow, wow, I get it. And I didn't know how, and I didn't know when, and I didn't know anything, but I knew that I wanted to work with that woman right then and there, because two things had spoken directly and clearly to my heart. One of them was my fear of money and lack. I should say, excuse that, let me reframe that. My former fear of lack of money. And the other one was common hour thinking, because I had been reading Thoreau for years, decades actually. And so I didn't do anything about it. You know how you get the notion and then you don't do anything, you sit around. And then all of a sudden, she just started showing up in my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
You know how the universe works, right?
Yeah.
And I knew if I clicked interested.
It's all over.
I was gonna call.
Now you've got to do it.
I waited like 2 weeks until I hit interested. And then of course, like the next day, right? And then I knew, oh my gosh, somebody's going to call me. And, you know, when we run up against our own paradigms, which, you know, we run up against our own belief systems, and they're right there. Yes, I had heard my big paradigm, which was money. And making a difference were the two things that really mattered to me most. And I heard him there. And so to shorten the story, I'll just tell you that overcoming that was probably one of the scariest things I ever did. I almost had a heart attack doing it. And that was over 3 years ago. I've been working in the Morrissey organization. I'm a life mastery consultant. But here's what I found. The way that I wrote programs, the language that I used, the way that I taught was exactly what she was doing. The books that she's read and studied over the last 40 years, I've read and studied over the last 40 years. What was the difference? Success and hanging on. And that's a mindset. And I had to turn that story around for myself, because I have the information. I know a lot of information. I have a lot of clients who know a lot of information, who've read a lot of books. But applying it and transforming your life is a shift in everything. Right down to the core of your belief system, because it's the ones we hold on to the tightest are the ones that keep us most imprisoned.
Yep.
And I used to worry about money. I never worry about money anymore. I just do what I want. Last year, I went to Australia and New Zealand for a whole month. that wasn't possible with the mindset before. So when I talked about CNN and Discovery, I was living on CNN. Yeah. Constantly negative news. I did when it came to that particular part of my life. So when I have clients who deal with that, which is pretty much everybody, we've got stories.
Yeah, we all do.
We've got stories about that, right?
Right before we started recording, I was on a call with another potential or future guest, and we were talking about some of the work that she does and why she does it, because she's coach, but now she's sort of transitioned her role to her company to within coaching in a different arena. And we started talking about self-worth, because as coaches, we have these incredible gifts. We have these incredible tools. We have this ability to hold space for others, to hold reflection for them. And of course, internalize and learn for ourselves. Yet, I see this because I talk to coaches, all day, every day. And the biggest thing, that common, one of the biggest common themes is like that whole piece of self-worth. And it iterates out to, what do I charge for my services? What am I, am I good enough? How can I possibly do these things or ask people for money for these things? Yeah. If we were to take ourselves out of our own packages and put ourselves as working for someone else, right? We do it all the time.
Yeah.
I would gladly sell my soul to someone else's dream.
Oh, not so much anymore.
Why do you do that? I mean, and I say that, I question that, and I'm going to tell you that I'm right in there in the thick of it.
One of the things I do that a lot of people don't know that I do is I have several coaches as clients. And so coaching coaches is something I really, really love, because first of all, they've already done a whole bunch of work, right?
They come prepared. I'm not your client, but I have coaches.
Right. Right.
We know what
well, and when you work with somebody who's a coach, they're carrying a lot. They're carrying a lot because they're carrying their practice with them. And so it's not just their own stuff, because we all have our own stuff, but they're carrying their practice along with it and all the clients they're feeling responsible for. And so, it's just a thing that you sort of just take that deep breath, you get in line with yourself, and you listen back to, does this give me life? You go back to the first question, because if you can't answer that one, and if it's not giving you life, then somewhere along the way, you've probably gotten out of line with your own value system. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the way, you may have gotten out of line with what really helps you to grow and grow others. Somewhere out of line, you may have decided that you're in control instead of tapping into infinite intelligence. Mm-hmm. And maybe you've lost your sense of service. And we all do that at different times. And so it's like, I just have this kind of way of bringing people back to what got us going to begin with, because it's kind of the ABCs of life. When you get yourself out here, you're going along, sometimes we forget our basics. And if we just take a breath and come back to basics, we start to get reconnected with the passion and the love and the excitement that we have when we make a difference in other people's lives as well as our own. I mean, I write that in my journal every day, that I am happy and grateful to be able to be in a position to make a positive difference in people's lives. And, that's a constant thing every single day. I never miss a day. If I don't do that, I cannot lose my focus on why I'm here. Now, that same thing is why the reason that many coaches want to give it away.
And I agree with you.
Right. And so Mary, I had an opportunity to be in a one-on-one situation with Mary. And I told her that. I said, I love everything I'm doing. I just want to give it away sometimes. It's really hard for me to charge. And she said to me, may I share something with you? And I'm like, yeah. I've got you one-on-one. I think I will.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She said, Jack taught me this. He said, Mary, and she looked at me and she said, Janet, I want you to hear this. If you don't value what you do, they won't value what you do. If they don't value what you do, they won't do it. If they don't do it, they don't get results. And if they don't get results, you didn't give them anything. And I went, whoa. Yeah. And then I remember that I've paid for a lot of coaching. I've paid for a lot of things in my life to help. And it's because I invested in myself, right? And it's really important that we have skin in the game. Now that is
the,
also
the common core for me there. The common core for me there is how we love ourselves and how we value our being. And I know that sounds like so simple, and really in truth, like I had this prophetic awareness in truth, like weeks ago around this. Weeks ago. It wasn't, I'm 43, so it wasn't like, you know, that it was an aha moment, because I was looking at my practice, I was looking at the show, and I was looking at the JOB, which I call my investor right now. And I was said, okay, these three things feel very uniquely different. And I also understand that I am the same being and need to show up as that same being in all facets, not just with these two, but like my relationships, my friendships, my parenting, my co-parenting, myself. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, here's a common core. The reason that that clients choose me is because they're choosing themselves.
That's right.
The reason any guest that I've had on my show, and the reason I do my show, is because they've invested in themselves and chosen themselves. I chose me.
Yes.
And then in the other facet of the JOB thing, same concept. The reason they thrive and the reason they fail is all in how they see themselves.
Always. Always true. It always starts with self.
Yes.
And then it starts with self giving it away.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you keep it to yourself, then you're not doing your job. You know, you have to, and it doesn't matter what, like you said, the JOB, every single part of our lives, we show up. And how do we show up and how do we value it? Mm-hmm. And so I keep remembering it that if I don't value it, they won't. And if they don't do it, they don't get results. I didn't give anything away to begin with. So you're not giving a gift to someone who hasn't invested in themselves. And that's what it is. It's not investing in me.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you say that.
Yeah,
I'm so glad that you say that. It's not me investing in you or vice versa. It's really like I show up. I've chosen my coaches because I think they might have the right structure for me and container in which I know that I can either have something that I've already like. NLP, I love NLP. So currently one of my coaches is an NLP coach because I know the transformation I've received through that. And myself, I'm also certified in that arena. I was free to say that. And I also know that the only way I'm going to grow and that I'm going to continue to pick up, like I have to take myself seriously and show up and put my broke girl pants on and make it happen because no one is going to do it for you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But, you know, I think of myself as the old, you know, the old story of the person who's down in the hole and asking, help, help, help. I'm in the hole. Help me. I want to get out. Right. And a priest walks by and throws in a prayer and keeps going and help, help, help. I'm stuck down here. Help me out. And the doctor walks by and throws in a prescription and keeps going. Right. And he's still in the hole, right. Still in the hole. So pretty soon, Joe walks by, and I'm just making the people up, right? Joe jumps in the hole, and the guy goes, well, now we're both in the hole. What are we going to do? And Joe goes, yeah, well, I know the way out. And that's how I think of myself. I know the way out. I know the way out for me. The way out for you, we might have to take a different turn, but I know these tunnels. I've been down here before. And so really and truly, there may be a different version of the story, but all of our journeys have so many similar ways. You know, we don't call it the hero's journey. If you've read any of Joseph Campbell, we're all going through the hero's journey. We're all going through the dark night. It's not whether or not we're going to have one.
The answer is yes, by the way.
If we're human, we're going to have dark nights. If we're human, we're going to have journeys, right? And it's about when you choose a coach, it's about choosing someone you're willing to walk that part of the journey with, right? And finding the gifts and treasures along the way. A coach can't give you the gift, but a coach can help you to see it. And that's been true for me with the coaches I've worked with, and that's been true for me in the work that I do with others. That's the joy of the work for me, is watching people find their own gifts, watching them, you know, listening to the soft signals, right? And going, oh, maybe I could listen to this before it's a sledgehammer, you know? But many of us have had dark nights And we felt the sledgehammer, and it's been in different areas of our life. And, you know, rarely does it all happen at once, but sometimes even that happens. So it doesn't really matter. What we need to know is that if the way that we live our lives tends to be a cycle of these things, and how deep it is and how dark it is, and whether or not there's a gift in it, has to do with our choices. Because we're going to be thinking, and we're going to be living, we're going to be breathing, whether or not we do anything with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And the choice is not always easy, but it's there. It's always there. You're never without a choice, even when you think you are. And coaches are good for that, I think. You know, yeah. If you want to actualize your life, if you want to make real what you want in your life, you can do it alone, but we aren't meant to be alone. We aren't meant to live alone. We're meant to be, and we all, are we not learning that now, right now? In
this I'm so glad, because I wanted to bring, that's actually where I wanted to go from here, was, yes. You know, here we are, you know, in the midst of being on this safer at home, stay at home, wherever you are, quagmire of things.
Big dark night, right? This is like an over looming dark night.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'd love to hear some of your observations around that, about where we are now and what are you experiencing for yourself? What are you experiencing with your clients? What are you bringing into this?
I've been doing, I've done a lot of what I call pro bono right now, because there's a lot of people needing connection. And I have been in quarantine now for 10 weeks because I was in New York visiting my daughter's family. And when I got off the plane, I wasn't feeling too good. And my daughter went nuts because we found out we had been exposed. And the man who exposed us was in the hospital with COVID. And she's like, you are calling the doctor, you know, now. So I did, because normally I wouldn't have. I felt like I had a cold, but I called, because if I hadn't, she would have probably, you know, gotten onto a plane and come here herself. So anyway, they put me into quarantine. It doesn't matter, right? It's already, if you're sick, we don't know you're in quarantine. So I've been in quarantine. This is my 10th week.
Yeah.
And so I've gone up and down and around myself, but, and my clients have too. But what I've seen that's been pretty consistent is grief. We call it different things. Sometimes we're feeling sad, disconnected, but there's a sense of grief, a sense of loss that's coming through over what we had, right? Yeah. What we've lost. That's grief, and that's normal. It's a natural place to be.
Yeah.
And if we don't address it, we can go into, you know, deeper, we can go into anger. We're seeing that acted out. We can go in depression. We're seeing that acted out. You know, we are human and we need connection. One of the things that I started doing I think it was my second week in seclusion, if you will, I started a 7:15, what I call sunshine moment. And most of my clients pop in there 15 minutes. We just do a little check-in. How's everybody doing? I do a little meditation and off to our day. Most of the people in that group who show up live alone.
Yes.
And they don't have somebody to see in the morning, right? Yes. And so that's been helpful. I didn't know when I did it. I did it to help clients, but it's really helped me. I live alone. And so I recognize that, you know, I'm a pretty social person and I'm used to working on Zoom. I do a lot of my work on Zoom. So I was already used to it, but I also noticed I was starting to have Zoom fatigue, and I could feel it. I was just like almost dreading the next Zoom call. And then I read an article by a physician who said, you know, that this is real. Zoom fatigue is real. I'm like, yes, I knew it. And a lot of it is about, like, these are blue glasses. I just got some because I'm on screen so much, right? I've learned to get up and take a walk. I'm actually really walking. My children are laughing because I've lived in this house for almost 8 years and I found the park.
Oh, Janet. Yeah, I love to.
One of the reasons is because I always walk the other direction. There's a nursing home on the other side of the street from me, and there was a big open space there, and I always walked over to that open space and would walk. Well, now they're building buildings there, so I decided to walk a different direction. So, yeah, it's kind of a joke. It's just like there was never food in my house, and guess what? Now there's food in my house. So all of us are making adjustments, but I think the theme that I see is that underlying grief and that anxiety around the uncertain, the unknown. When are we coming out of this? Will we be safe when we come out of this? How long will it be? Could it happen again? Those questions are on all of our minds. Mm-hmm. And what we can do is just face what we're dealing with now. Like, these are the circumstances that we have.
Yeah.
They are not our truth. Our truth is we are far more powerful than our circumstances.
Absolutely.
Stay connected with people. Zoom is great. And if you are someone who works on Zoom, because remember, what we're doing now is we're working on Zoom.
Yeah.
We are socializing on Zoom. We are doing our hobbies on Zoom. We are doing our worship on Zoom. We are doing our family gatherings on Zoom. You know, we shop on Zoom. Everything we're doing is in this environment that is technology. Thank heavens we have it.
Yeah.
But it also, if we're going to this one place constantly, it's technology. So there is a drain on our bodies, on our person. And if we just remember that, and I see so many people going out. I love that we do the Howl in Denver.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. People don't even realize. They think, I've heard people say it's so silly. I'm like, go out and howl as loud as you can. Physiologically, it clears your body and it shifts your consciousness. It changes your state.
And it's so funny because, you know, my closest friends, a lot of my closest friends, that is absolutely already in their line, right? I'm a free spirit and I have a lot of friends who are very free spirited. And there was one particular night that I did get together with just, you know, a couple of very select people, and it was 8 o'clock and they're howling. And I hadn't howled yet. I hadn't participated. Uh-huh. And I was like, because it just didn't draw for me. And I did it and I was like, oh, this really feels good. I get it. Because what I'm seeing, you know, yes, I also agree. Like there is this energy suck. Right,
yes.
The fear of the unknown, the fear of what's my life going to be. I can't see my friends. I can't see my family. Like, and it's all this like lack, right? And we know what lack does. It brings the whole vibration down, which conversely is why I felt so adamant. And this was, you know, we were in quarantine for like a week at this point. And I was like, oh, my show's coming back. It's time. You know, I knew it was going to happen anyway. Now I was like, we've got to turn these lights on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as coaches and as healers and people who are dialed in, we have this ability to, if we keep adding to our joy and adding to our love and adding to this creationism, we're increasing that we're raising that vibration, we're increasing the frequency, because if something, we've got to counterbalance this dark night. And what I'm actually seeing is a lot more of this, like putting one hand in front for someone else is holding me up and a hand behind you. And,
yep.
And you're carrying that next person. Because I think right now we have to acknowledge what is really happening. And I found that like early on, early on to this, I was talking with my colleagues about this. And they're like, oh yeah, we're fine. And I was like, really? Like none of this is getting to you? Like none of it? and they kept sort of, you know, dusting it away. And I was like, okay, well, these are not the people that are going to have this conversation. And that's okay. And maybe they're, you know, maybe that's just not the relationship we have. And that's fine. Yet I am seeing, yes, I am grateful, like living where we live, that we have the access to the outdoors and seeing people outside and seeing families spending time together and creating new possibilities and new relationships and new alignments and finding new ways to aliven our spirit.
Absolutely true. And I find that to be the same. I had someone on Facebook say to me, every place they go, they see people who are crabby and grouchy and nobody's nice. And I'm like, every place I go, people are smiling and saying hello and being kind. And, you know, if I'm walking down the street with my dog and they're coming toward me, both of us start walking to give each other distance and acknowledge each other. Little kids on bikes are saying hi to me. And I'm like, I'm not drawing in that, and I'm having a good experience. My sunshine, they call themselves the Sunshine Sisters now, they name themselves the
Gals.
And they're like, you know, they can't wait to say hello to each other, you know, every morning. It's like, how you doing this morning?
Yeah.
And one of them said, what are we going to do when this ends? Because I really like this.
I have to tell you, that's the world I'm living in right now.
Yeah.
I mean, like I went to Home Depot earlier today to you know, run an errand. And, you know, and that was what I was met with, was that, yes, we all have, I mean, masks on, all you can see your eyes.
Right.
However, you can see that there's a brilliance there, or you can see that closed. Yeah. And perhaps again, it's choice, but I think it's also, it's what are you emanating in the world? Because that, whatever you're emanating is going to return to you. And if you're really looking, it returns to you tenfold.
It's back to what you and I were saying about clients. You know, you bring in, you attract in, right? So when I see someone who's you can see by their eyes, right? People like go out of their way to make sure you can tell with their eyes that they're really connecting with you, right? Because you can't see here. And, but you can see the people who are dealing with fear. And so whenever I see them, I just smile and nod, but I don't penetrate because they're very afraid.
They put a figurative wall in front of them.
Right. You meet people where they are. Yeah. You give them the courtesy of where they are. I had a really good friend on Facebook this morning who had gotten blasted by someone. He does a lot of charity work and really does good work in this world. And somebody slammed him and he was really having a hard time with it. And I wrote to him and I said, you know, that person is so afraid. So you've got to realize that when people are behaving that way, they have bought the fear. And if we're not buying the fear, it's our job to not add to it.
Yeah.
We can't always take it away from other people. We can't do that, but we don't have to add to it. We don't have to make it a fact of our own life.
Right.
Right. It can be a fact that's out there in the world, but our life, our truth is higher. Everybody's truth is, but you have to be willing to tap into that. You have to be willing to surround yourself with as much life-giving force as you can, you know? So the Sunshine Sisters are part of what became a life force for me. I do a Hold the High Watch once a week on Wednesday nights. Same thing. We do a check-in, make sure everybody's doing okay, do some meditation. I have a little reading or something. Nothing big or heavy, but just enough to know that we're okay. You're okay, and we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this together. Yeah. And I, you know, I look forward to seeing those faces every week. Now, I've done some free classes on Dark Night because I think that we have to give ourselves permission to know that these things have happened. There isn't any one of us who hasn't lived through something. We've just never lived through such a collective, huge, global.
Exactly.
This is global. Exactly. This isn't germane to our part of the world. This is a global thing that's happening. And when has there ever been the whole world stopped?
Yeah.
Right? Not in our memory.
Not in our lifetime.
Not in our lifetime. This is the big thing for us. And it will become what we make it.
Yes.
It will become. So, you know, I rather like the little bit slower pace. I didn't know that it was going to be a slower pace, but I found that I'm still working a lot. In fact, I'm actually working more than I was before, but I'm pacing it in a way that feels less frantic. And some of that's because I'm not out driving. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get to a meeting at a certain time and getting home at a certain time and that kind of thing. Everything I'm doing, I can choose how I work it into my day. And some days I work longer, but I'm taking pace and I'll get up and, you know, I've learned if I don't get up and move and get away from the computer that I can't work as long anyway. And then I'm not as effective. So I was talking to a friend of mine recently and I said, you know, years ago when Google came out and other of the, you know, the whole Silicon Valley kind of firms, and they had the game areas, you know, all the places for people to play. And I will admit that I thought that that was a generational thing, but I don't believe so. I believe that those people who were very digitally, you know, that was a digital world, the early digital world that we have now all become a part of. But those people understood that they couldn't keep those creatives working in front of those screens all day. They had to play. They had to move away. They had to have. And so it wasn't about we're young and hip and right. That was part of it.
They got the social behavior.
Yeah, they understood that. In order for people to produce in an environment that's digital like this, you have to have some tangible exercise with your body, with your mind, with other people. And so I now recognize that it was just a misunderstanding on my part. And those of us who have work ethics that come from the generation I come from, our idea is you come in, you sit down, you work all day, you leave.
Yeah.
We can't live in this digital environment if we don't learn the tools and behaviors, right? So I was talking to another friend of mine who, you know, she works sometimes 10, 11 hours in front of a computer nonstop. And I said, you're taking a work ethic you learned as a young woman and bringing into a world that doesn't work that way. And this does not serve you. That's why you're getting sick. You're getting sick because your body is breaking down. So I've learned that with everything. I get up, my dog makes me have to go out and walk. That's a good thing. I used to get kind of ticked off. She, don't you know I'm working? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, she does. She's trying to get me to leave, right? So learning your rhythms, learning how to live in this digital world that's keeping us connected. I mean, what if we didn't have this?
Yeah.
Right? We're fortunate we have it. Look at all the wonderful, the musicians and the actors and the people who've been doing all
this. Creationism is happening. Awesome.
It's fantastic. And I don't know if you've watched John Krasinski's Some Good News. If you haven't.
It's funny because I think I just saw something about it the other day, but I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, well, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. And you know, people are being creative and finding ways to share, you know, joy and uplifting and things like that. So it's important that we learn. It's a different world already. What is it going to look like later? We don't know, but it's already different.
Well, it's really interesting. And I'm going to kind of close out on this thought and love your feedback on it too, is, you know, we sort of started about this, talking about this, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes ago now, about the, you know, what observations we're seeing in this current space that we're sitting in and the fear level of the unknown and how long are we going to be in the space. You take a step further back out of that. And I think, and I've been saying this now for weeks, is we never knew.
No, we didn't. We thought we did.
So to me, it's like, I understand there is this concept of safety around the routineness of what our life used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up and you have this expectation, like, actually, this is a perfect circular coming back to where you started, right? Of the day you turned your car around.
Right.
We had this place and this time and this rhythm to our life that, okay, in the morning we get up and we go to work, or in the morning for me, like, I get up, I get my kid ready, and then I go to work, or whatever my routine is. That part of our routine is now gone, and it may not come back. I mean, I get that being fearful. However, no one wakes up in the morning and knows what their day is going to be.
Nobody.
We have an idea. We may schedule it. We may have some concept of the things that we'd like to do. But unless you knew what the bigger plan was, I mean, maybe intuitive.
So true. So true.
A little different.
Jocelyn, that is so true. And it's the impertinence of us that we think we know. Yeah, but this is more real.
Yes.
And I think there's a certain amount of freedom that once gained, very hard to give back.
I also think, I'm going to layer on this, the freedom piece is very interesting because now people, like we've had our awakening. We've woken up. We get it. There are so many people waking up right now. And you remember those early days, how not so much fun they are. At least mine wasn't, because I had to learn about me and learn about, and it feels scary. I'm a feeler, so that's how I speak. It can be scary. It can appear to be scary, yet you lean into it and you realize how much it isn't. Well, I think that's the space that we're in right now.
The space we're in right now. You know, Napoleon Hill said, in every adversity lies the seeds of the greater, equal or greater benefit. The answer is always in, you know, so we talked earlier about everybody's had dark nights. Mm-hmm. All of us have, and we'll probably have more. But how many times have we said afterwards, in hindsight, you know, that looked like the worst thing that could happen to me, but it was actually the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, a job that was lost opened up an opportunity for some other kind of work. A relationship that ended opened up the opportunity for freedom and love in a whole different way. You know, health challenges got you to stop and pay attention and have health and vitality in a way you wouldn't have if you hadn't had the stop, right? So
yes.
All of us have dealt with different things like that. This big, huge global thing will have a gift in it as well.
Mm.
We're already talking about some of the gifts that we are experiencing on a mini, you know, kind of micro scale, but there's going to be macro gifts in this, and the planet's going to have, we're already seeing it. We're already seeing, you know, our skies are clearer, our waters are clearer. We've got wildlife showing up in places they've never been before. So the planet's already giving us not soft signals, real big ones. Yes. That we can heal a lot of things, and we can turn our cars around. All of us can, every single one of us, you know, no matter how limp it might seem. I drove on flat tires before, haven't you?
Yeah. Not so much fun, but it happens. You can do it.
Yeah. And you know, if you have to. And I remember one time I had a flat tire, and I knew that if I kept driving on it, it was going to ruin the rim. And I thought, well, I guess I'll have to buy a new rim, because I'm not going to stay in this space, and I'm not going to change the car. And that was, we didn't have cell phones. That dates me, but we didn't have cell phones like we do now. It doesn't matter if it dates me. I care not at all. Yeah. I'm proud of the fact that I've lived a long life and expect to live a little bit longer.
Yeah. But the point, I mean, the metaphor there is that you keep moving forward.
Why not? Why not? What? I'm not standing there waiting to see when's this going to be over. I'm like, hey, let me know, because I'm going to keep having a good time. And my brother says, I'm going to slide right down to the end and say, what a great ride.
That's right.
That's the way we live. If we don't live that way in this time, when are we going to do it? We're going to stop living while this is happening? We can't.
No.
Yeah. We have to find the gift in our days.
We have to.
This is one of them.
I go to the point of, we have to find the fire within us.
In our soul. Yeah. That's my tagline. Ignite the fire in your soul. Thank you.
Is it really?
Yes.
That would be why you have the pin that you're wearing. This is actually
my Life Mastery Consultant pin, which is about igniting the fire. My company's name is Phoenix Soaring International, and that is, you know, not Phoenix Rising.
Yes.
Phoenix Soaring.
Love that.
Right? Because we're all Phoenixes. We've all risen from the ashes. But now
that's
what's
right.
Let's go.
That's
from
right.
Right?
The name of my company is Strike Any Match.
Oh,
the same.
Look at us.
Yeah.
I love it. But these are, our conversation is a gift in this, right? These are the gifts in the middle of this stuff. There is always, in the journey, there is always a gift. There's always something to find that moves us forward. We mm-hmm. just have to nurture it, mm-hmm. right? With each other. And there's so many small ways. You know, I was talking to Gary Barnes this morning, and it's like, some people go, I can't do it unless it's a big gesture. Like, oh, I have to do big things. But it's not, it's the small gestures. You know, my sister has been making masks. She can sew. I can't sew.
That's my parents. Yep, that's their contribution.
I'm so glad that she's making masks. I can't sew, but I can coach. I can teach, I can listen, I can be present. I can give people my time. I can support. There's lots of things I can do. But if I was sewing, people would probably not be very protected.
But here's the thing, and here's the thing. We all have to acknowledge the gifts that we have within ourselves, and we get to use them, and yes. we get to share them. And yes. Jen, I really want to say thank you so very much for your gift of your time with this conversation, and that you continue to move forward, and you continue to be that pathway or hold that space for others to actualize what their dreams into reality.
And you as well, my dear. What a sweet, sweet day this is to do this with you. And this is how I end all of my my morning calls with my sunshine girls. Live long and prosper.
I love it.
Although, that's a new handshake.
I'll try, but it just doesn't happen. Not in our hands. I'm not Vulcan.
Okay, you're quasi-Vulcan, right?
Quasi-Vulcan. When I get to Band-Aids, I'll get
there
it.
There you go. There you go. That's what my grandson does. He does this.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Janet, thank you so much. I so appreciate you.
I love it. Let's stay together and in touch, dear.
I love that.
Okay. Love you.